Okay, hope you got your handout on your way in. We will go through as we did last week as we are entering another study of our pathways to blessing. I want you to turn with me to start with tonight to Genesis chapter 25. We will ultimately get over to chapter 32 for the text, but we'll start in chapter 25 to start with. Have you ever wanted something really bad? Huh? Anybody in here ever wanted something real, real bad? Tell me, what was that one thing that you wanted really bad? Money. Always good. Yes. Something you really wanted, something really bad that you just thought you had to have. A motorcycle. Amen, brother. What kind of motorcycle? That's a nice motorcycle. You did? So it wasn't quite as big of a... You know, found out real quick sometimes. Man, I saw a 1700 VTX one time that was green. Oh, it was beautiful. But I said no. Anyway, wanted it real bad though. Anybody else? Something else you really wanted? Yeah, Larry. A 65 Pontiac. I can relate to that too. Okay, well, that's okay though. That's all right. Know what you want. Okay, all right. And what happened to it? It got old. you know, we go through periods of our lives where we just become completely overcome with the want of something, right? I mean, it just grips us and we just have to have it. When I was in, now don't tell the child labor laws about me, okay? But when I was in sixth grade, I got my first job. And I was bussing tables at a restaurant that my parents and I ate at all the time. We knew the lady that owned it. And in fact, the ironic thing is my mom worked for this lady, too, when she was in high school. So sixth grade, I'm bussing tables. And if I worked the daytime shift, I got $12 cash. Right? That's why I said don't tell the child labor people. But and then if I worked the evening shift, I got $10 because there was an hour less in there. You do the math, right? And but I did get a free meal. So, hey, sixth grade boy, get a little money and a free meal. I'm okay with that. So I saved all my money up because at Ben Franklin, remember Ben Franklin? All right. See, I'm in my right audience. Ben Franklin, except for Chris. Chris is looking at me like, I don't know what Ben Franklin was. But anyway, Ben Franklin was, what's that? $100 bill, that's right. That's Ben Franklin. But he had a chain store kind of like the early days of Walmart, but without the groceries. And Ben Franklin had up in their display right at the front of the store an 8-track player with two speakers. No radio, just the 8-track player. And so I saved all summer to get, I think it was $84. Boy, did they rip me off. Because I had to have that 8-track tape player. And I mean, it literally, right down to the penny of all the money that I made. Because, see, I still played Little League Baseball, and so that was busy during the summer. Didn't get to work a whole bunch. And so paid for that and got it home and, boy, set it all up in my room. And guess what? I didn't have any 8-track tapes to play in it. I couldn't afford the $5.99 that the 8-tracks were. So it really wasn't doing me a whole lot of good. Had to borrow 8-tracks from my aunt all the time. And I mean, it was just a constant fuss because she wanted it and then I wanted it. Anyway, finally I was able to save up, scratch up enough pennies to go buy Ronnie Millsap, Only One Love in My Life, I'm telling you. So I was in high cotton when I was in sixth grade with my 8-track tape player. But you know what? I got to tell you, I have no idea what happened to that. My mom may still have it somewhere because she's still kind of a little bit of a pack rat, that is. But listen, it doesn't matter. When we get something on our minds that we have to have, it seems like we are not going to be content with life until we have it, right? And then when we get it, what usually happens? If it's the Camaro, the 68 Camaro, we wreck it or it goes bad. Or if it's the Blizzard at Dairy Queen that we've just got to have, well, it may not be made just right and not taste like we thought it might taste. Many times we get our eyes so fixed on the world and the things of the world that we forget the need for blessings from God. Because we think that this some certain thing is going to make us happy, or that is what we need. It seems as though we are just attempting to find our own blessings. In essence, make our own blessings. Have you ever tried to do that? You know what I'm talking about? Try to make our own blessings. We might even be guilty of trying to bless ourselves with whatever we think is going to make us happy. I've used this as an illustration before, but if you buy your own Christmas present, it's not a Christmas present. It's not a gift, right? A gift is something somebody thinks enough about you or knows enough about you that knows that you would want that and goes, yeah, that's right, it's a gift. Somebody gives it to you. If you're buying your own Christmas, enjoy it, but you're not. Don't call it a Christmas present. This is not a gift. So we sometimes think we have to bless ourselves, and that just isn't the way it works. Because in the end, let's admit it, the things of this world are temporary. If we get money, what happens to it? Bible says, takes wings and flies away, right? Cars, we wreck them. Motorcycles, we decide that was a dumb idea. Who hasn't probably been there before? You know, 8-track tape player, that doesn't really go well a whole lot anymore. Some of you don't even know what 8-tracks are. And there you go. That just tells the truth right there. Because in the whole situation, temporary doesn't make us happy. Or, as we're talking about, blessed. The fact is, we all need to desire God's blessing on who we are and what we do. Nothing else is ever going to satisfy us completely. To get on the pathway to blessing, you have to want it. You know that? So the question on our handout tonight at the very top is, how badly do you want to be blessed? How badly do you want to be blessed? I mean, that is an evaluation question. How badly do you want to be blessed? Or are you going to continue down or keep going down the path of, I want, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need, I need. I've got to have all these things that and I'm sure I'm going to be happy then. I'm sure that I'm going to be blessed then. How many of you know people who have absolutely nothing but are the most joy-filled people, it seems, on the earth? You know what I'm talking about? And we sometimes, who have what we want, usually what we need, and many things of what we want, are miserable. That's right, because you can't satisfy that, right? There's just a continual need to be filling up or trying to bless ourselves. The life of Jacob seems to mirror what we're talking about right now. For the first 9 decades of his life, did you hear what I just said? For the first 9 decades of his life. Is that a long time? Yeah. Nobody in here has reached that yet, right? Brother Clyde's close. I just made sure he was still awake. He kind of leaned over there for a second, and I was just making sure. But for the first 9 decades of his life, blessings have been inconsistent. Okay? I'm not saying that Jacob was not blessed, because you can go back and you can look at how, remember the story of how the cattle with Laban? You remember how Laban, every time that Laban was trying to trick him into getting all the one cattle, well, Jacob would use the stick. Do y'all remember that? That's an odd story in the Bible. And he'd put that stick in front of the cow, and the cow would have the kind of cattle that Laban didn't want. And so, don't get me wrong, Jacob was blessed. The Lord didn't just abandon him. But I will say this about the blessings of God on his life. For the first 9 decades of his life, or the better part of 9 decades, almost 10, the blessings were inconsistent. They weren't constant. And there always seemed to be something going on in Jacob's life. His attempts to bless himself for all those years have gone pretty poorly, pretty badly. So I suppose this goes all the way back to his birth. And that starts here in Genesis 25, verse 24. Genesis 25 and verse 24. And when her, that is Rebekah, right? When Rebekah's days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. Don't you like the way that describes that? So they called his name Esau, which means red. Right? Okay. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And so they called his name Jacob, which means, literally, you know what it is. What does it mean? Heel grabber. One who trips somebody else up. Or deceiver. That's also what the word Jacob means, or the name Jacob means. So Isaac was 80 years old when she, Rebekah, bare them. The boys grew, the Bible tells us. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. He was a hairy man. He was red-faced, and he was a cunning hunter. Nothing got past him. He could trap, he could bow hunt, he could take them down with the M16, just making sure you're still listening. Right? I mean, he was a hunting man, and he was a man's man, and he was Jacob's favorite man, because Jacob had, Isaac had already gotten kind of old, right? And Isaac didn't feel like hunting quite as much, and so Isaac got to eat the food that Esau would bring back to him. So they were buds. But what about Jacob? Well, Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. He was a homebody. He may have even been kind of sickly. Or that son for sure that was kind of always pampered. Oh, now let's not get Jacob too exposed out there. You know, he gets sunburned really easily. We got to keep him inside. He was a mama's boy. Let's just be honest. Thus, he was very pampered and very spoiled. 28 tells us, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Pretty descriptive family situation we got going on here. And it sets the stage for a pretty tough life, really, for Jacob. Living with the name heel grabber, or the one who deceives, gave Jacob quite a reputation. And it seems that he was pretty quick to take advantage of that situation. Pretty quick to assume the characteristics of that name, deceiver. His culprit was Esau on two major occasions. As first of all, if you continue reading there in chapter 25, we're not going to, that's a whole other message. But that tells us that he worked his way into getting Esau's birthright from him, thus becoming the oldest son and all the benefits that went along with that, especially in a Jewish family, because Esau was hungry after a hunt. Basically, Jacob deceived Esau out of his birthright for a pot of beans. Now listen, I've had some pretty good red beans and cornbread for, amen? Come on now. You guys had supper yet? Some red beans and cornbread, a little chow chow on there. Y'all like chow chow? You even know what chow chow is? Can I get an amen? We like some chow chow. And if it's good and spicy chow chow on top of those red beans and some cornbread, now we're really, or like we like to say back in the East, we like to say cornbread, right? All right, so we like all that kind of stuff. And so I've had some really good beans and cornbread and chow chow before, good spicy chow chow. But I don't think I'd want to, I'm the oldest son in my family. I don't think I would want to sell my birthright for that. Not that my dad has anything he's really going to give me the double portion of or anything, but still, I like being the oldest son. But Esau was duped into it by the deceiver. And I'm sure that Jacob, when he saw Esau coming and realized how hungry he was in the pot, threw in a little extra garlic just to make it smell real good right at the end. Are you with me? Because that's just the way Jacob thought. Okay, so he got his birthright, and then later he got his blessing from Isaac as well. Once Isaac went blind, Rebekah and Jacob conspired together, and they dressed Jacob up to feel and smell like Esau. And Jacob went in and Isaac gave him his blessing as well. Just a little while later, Esau comes in, gets his blessing. Esau starts weeping and wailing, literally. And Rebekah says, Jacob, it's probably time for you to hightail it out of here and send him to her home country known as Padan Aram. That's where she was from. But alas, things did not go completely as planned there, as Jacob found his dad-in-law, Laban, to be just as crafty, didn't he? Having experienced blessing, but not the fullest and richest of blessings on his life, Jacob sets out on a track back to Canaan. Okay, this is decades into his life now. So as he, his family, his servants, and all that he had journeyed back to the west, they came to a tributary river called Jabbok, just east of the Jordan River, where at 97 years old, Jacob is about to reunite with Esau. He's about to see his brother again for the first time in many decades. With this meeting scheduled for the very next day, Jacob realized just how badly he needed the blessings of God and not continue to try to bless himself. Get it? 97! I mean, I've heard of slow learners before, but come on. How many of us, though, can relate? Flip over to Genesis 32 now. Genesis 32, and I want you to read with me what happens, beginning in verse 24. The night before the meeting, after many decades between Jacob and Esau, verse 24 says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled. The word wrestled there literally means to grapple with, to have hand-to-hand combat with a man. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he, the man, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob. Okay, there's a lot of pronouns there, so we got to keep identifying who's who in the story. He, the man that he's wrestling with, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with the man. And he said, the man that Jacob's wrestling with, let me go, for the day breaketh. But Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, the man who he's wrestling with, what is your name? That's a good question, isn't it? What is your name? Who have you believed yourself to be all these years? Jacob, right? The deceiver, the heel grabber, the one who trips up, the one who is always trying to dupe somebody else. Verse 28, the man who he's wrestling with said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but now Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Did you get that? He blessed him there. The man who he's wrestling with blessed Jacob. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted or limped upon his thigh. The man who he's wrestling with, none other than Jesus. It's called a theophany. The Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. What a story, huh? 97 years old. Finally realizing, man, I have tried to bless myself all these years unsuccessfully. And here I am alone on the night before I could die. Esau may just rise up and kill me tomorrow. And I need to get some things straight. I need to get some different focus in my life. Okay, so as we begin to fill in what we've got tonight on our sheets, I want you to see point number one, and there's only two, so that means it's not going to take very long. The first blank, isolation brings opportunity. Isolation brings opportunity. Verse 24 says, Jacob was left alone. Remember right here that our definition for blessing is having in our heart a joy and contentment in God no matter the circumstance. So rewrite that down in your blanks. Our definition for being blessed is having in our heart a joy and contentment no matter the circumstance. It is evident from everything that we've just briefly told you about Jacob that he did not find himself in this condition. With the certainty of how Esau, with the uncertainty of how Esau was going to react after all he had done to him in the past, Jacob, let's just be honest, was scared. He was scared. Now, verse 24 says he was alone. You know, sometimes the Lord gets us to the point where we are all by ourselves in order to get our undivided attention. Have you ever been there? Has something like that ever happened to you where you are all by yourself and feeling isolated, but all of a sudden you have the overwhelming knowledge of the presence of God and He is about to do something, say something, speak something to your heart, to your life, give you some different direction, give you some different motivation, give you something that you need at that time? I talked to a man one time. He was a great man in our church in Mesquite. Big man. And he was in my office one day and he said, you know what? Several years ago, I wasn't living for the Lord, man. I was making all kinds of money and we weren't going to church, but I knew better. But I just didn't have time for church because I was so tired because I was making so much money. You ever heard those kinds of stories? And so all of a sudden one day, I found myself flat on my back in a hospital room. And the weird thing about it is nobody knew why or what was going on with my body. They were running test after test after test. It wasn't my heart. It wasn't my kidneys. They didn't know what in the world was going on. And do you know, to this day, they never found out what was wrong with that guy? But he said, while I was alone in my hospital room, on the hospital bed, laying, looking up at the ceiling, day after day, not knowing what in the world was going on with me, God began to speak to me. And He began to say, you know what? You know better. You know you're supposed to be living for Me. And all you're living for is you. I believe at that point in time that God was trying to tell my friend, you're on the wrong pathway to what you think is blessing when it really isn't. Jacob, all these years, on a pathway, but it wasn't the right one toward the blessing that God wanted him to have. Sometimes the Lord gets us to the point where we are all by ourselves in order to get our undivided attention. So our next sentence here, and fill in the blank, is it is in these times when the Lord can really examine us and speak His truth into our lives. Through this examination, we see Jacob doing exactly what we tend to want to do with the Lord. Wrestle with Him. Right? Boy, we got that old human nature and we got it bad, don't we? We got those stubborn streaks. Now, don't try to convince me you're not stubborn, because I know you are. I know I am. We want things the way we want things. We are stubborn people. So when God has us isolated and wants to speak to us, wants to give us a better path, we tend to want to do what? Wrestle against that. Can you just imagine for a moment Jacob trying to wrestle with Jesus? Do you know how funny that picture must have been? I mean, really. And yet, it got serious, didn't it? In fact, it must have lasted for hours, because the sun was coming up by the time their wrestling match had ended and their conversation concluded. Who prevails then? See, this is an important thought. Who prevails in the end? You? Me? Or Jesus? Let's always remember who prevails in the end, especially when we're trying to seek our own pathway to blessing. We, like Jacob, must determine just how badly we need to be blessed by God. The word blessed, and this is the next fill in the blank, means to be praiseworthy. It means to be praiseworthy. Whoops, I think I underlined that in my notes, but didn't get it on yours. But that's what the word blessed means here, to be praiseworthy. So for our lives to be praiseworthy before the Lord, we must be walking in unison with Him. Jacob held on tightly to the Lord, finally desiring His blessing, because only he knew how miserable his life really was. So from there, in verses 27 through 30, he got a new identity. A new identity is your next line. Was born out of this obstacle. Don't you love when the Lord comes alongside and says, all right, I want you to admit it to me. I want you to admit what you're doing. What's that known as? Confession. When we confess our sins, what's happening? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what did Jesus say to Jacob? He said, I want you to tell me what your name is. Tell me who you think you are. I am the deceiver. I am the one who goes through all of this trouble to try to bless myself. I am Jacob. And so then Jesus comes back to me and says, well, matter of fact, let's just give you a new identity here. Let's just change your name. Let's change your path to now a pathway toward blessing. Who wants that? Anybody in here want a pathway to blessing? Absolutely. So now he said, your name's not going to be Jacob anymore, verse 28, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So the Lord's response to Jacob was a question. Because the Lord wants us to define who we think we are. That's the next line. The Lord wants us to define who we think we are. So Jacob admits, I am a deceiver. I am the one who trips others up. It is after this admission that the Lord gives this amazing announcement. You are not going to be a deceiver anymore. You are not going to try to deceive people into your own blessings. You are going to be the one who prevails with God. We also might render the name Israel as God's fighter. That's what it means. So God's fighter can now move forward with God's purpose and blessing on his life. That would be the final fill in the blank. God's fighter can now move forward with God's purpose and blessing on his life. So upon Jacob getting his new identity, he desired to know who he was wrestling with. Did you notice he didn't get a reply? Why? Because he think he knew. He knew. This is the reason he calls the place Peniel, which means the face of God. So as the darkness of night gave way to the early morning shadows, Israel moves back to his family with a limp and likely a stick that he had found to lean on that he didn't have the day before. That limp would always remind him of his face-to-face meeting with the Lord and how desperate he had become for the Lord's favor, the Lord's blessing. So I'm going to give you a little homework. You like homework? Good. What are some things that might be standing in the way of you having a blessed relationship with the Lord? Got your three lines at the bottom and the back part is all blank if you need it. But I would like for you to spend some time thinking about that. Because boy, we can all relate to Jacob trying to find our own blessings. But I would rather us find the pathway to real blessing by seeing God face to face.